When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast for Pac-12 football news, the home of the BetaRank College Football Statistical Model. This is a sharp college football where all of your dreams come true, where all of your dreams come true, including wish casting DJU to Oregon State. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Congratulations to us. Congratulations to you. Finally, the transfer portal is starting to make some sense. I'm joined, as always, by Rob Bowron, who, like myself, enjoyed the weeks and an emphasis on weeks off. So thanks, everybody, for your patience. But we all had a wonderful holiday, hopefully. You know, it's always so funny, Rob, like whenever somebody says for those who partake, I always in my mind, it's always like for those that drink, like for those that celebrate. But, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, you know, to everybody that's out there. How are you, sir?
I'm good. BetaRank is actually the new predicted scores model sits at 57% so far, 57.5% against the spread in bowl season, which ain't bad for bowl season.
Yeah.
But the old naive spread, the old reliable, sits at 55% for bowl season.
So, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they could end up tied because they're actually on different sides of the championship game.
Oh, that's funny. I always find bowl season to be a bit of a crapshoot, right? You're reading the tea leaves. You got to figure out, you know, who's playing, who's not playing. We're going to go through all the bowl games, by the way, talk about that. I do think that there's some things that you can take away from that. A shout out to everybody that joined the 12-Pack Radio bowl pool. Yonker CFB once again in first place. So maybe it isn't just a crapshoot. You know, maybe Yonkers knows, you know, he knows all the coaches and all the players that have the flu or don't want to play. Bill Walden's plug again and number two, and Brad Toyle, who also I think did really well last year, is in third place. I was sitting high, Rob. I was kind of looking down at all the peons from my you know 50th floor penthouse suite, and then just completely collapse. Like I think it went 2-15 in the last bowl games. It has been fascinating to see, but we'll get to those. I think we should start by some big news in the transfer portal. We're gonna kind of ease our way into the portal. The announcements, the final, you know, dates where you can transfer one to the or the other, I believe is next week. But I wanted to start this show, Rob, with the quarterbacks, because there's been a lot of news. I think that if you're a team that needs a quarterback and you get somebody in the door, it's always exciting. And I think the big story for this year, kind of similar to last year, was that it's kind of a conference that has legit good quarterbacks. And when you don't have good defenses, boy howdy, they look great. And maybe that's why we saw some good transfers over in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, one of the real fun positives, I think, about the Pac-12 this last year is that the offense has really picked back up. If you think of like 2 years ago, like it wasn't a great conference for quarterbacks, and the conference rebounded tremendously. Just this past year, and I think has an opportunity to be better, you know, with some inbound QBs this season. But such as that, I mean, like the you know Bo Nix and Michael Penix coming back, I think is a huge shot in the armor for the conference. And you have to expect, you know, Cal to be in the market for a quarterback still as well, and maybe Washington State.
Yeah, with their offensive coordinator taking off and taking a head coaching job. We'll talk about that shortly. I think really, the biggest news was DJ Uiagalelei making the transfer from Clemson to Oregon State. And it was interesting because it was him. There's a couple of players where the transfer portal looked kind of funky, like when Keaton Slovis went to Pitt. And I'm like, what? Like, you're going to go play for that offense? Because, like, their offensive coordinator left and the head coach was basically like, yeah, he was too good. We want to win the right way by running the football and not scoring points. And I'm just like, why is Slovis going there? And then you had the transfer, the guy escapes right now, but to West Virginia, like basically the USC quarterback transferring over there. And that offense was terrible under under not Todd Graham. Oh my gosh, I've wiped his name out of my
mind. Neil Brown's the quarterback. Graham Harrell.
Graham Harrell. Thank you very much. Yeah, Graham Harrell. You know, going back to
Neil Brown's the head coach, not quarterback. But yeah.
Yeah, and it, like that just didn't make sense. So you know, you have Slovis transferring back from Pitt to BYU. You have DJU over to Oregon State, and that's the one I'm really excited about because I was talking to a friend of mine who's a huge Clemson fan, and he just thinks DJU sucks. And it's possible.
He's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot wrong with that offense. You could argue, was part of it. But if you watch that offense in the bowl game, like, it's not just quarterback play. I mean, the offensive line is not good. The receivers are not getting separation. I would be surprised if Clemson has receivers drafted on day one or day two in the draft. You know, they're not really able to run the football. You know, like, it's not a, like, I mean, maybe you could get a phenomenal, like, you know, quarterback to come in and help clean up some of this mess, but the mess that's outside of you know, DJU, like, I don't think that's indicative of his skill level, and I think he is maybe more than anyone in college football that enters the transfer portal is going to benefit from the particular change of scenery that he chose.
I was so excited because you saw some of the teams that were popping up, like Hawaii and I think Nevada or Fresno State was another one, and I'm like, go to Oregon State. We've been talking about this for like 2 years, right? Go, you get a good offensive line. You have a great offensive line coach. Jonathan Smith can scheme up plays. I don't know if the wide receivers for Oregon State are really that good, but and that's not to throw away the fact that Ben Gulbranson, as a true freshman, really, like, I'm excited about him next year because as a true freshman, he played just as well as Chance Nolan did. Now you have DJU coming in, somebody that can throw the ball a little bit further down the field, that has more seasoning to him. Is he going to be the best quarterback in the Pac-12? Probably not, but I think it's a huge, huge get for Oregon State. I think him and getting another shot, and it's just a good place for him to land, right? Not great defenses, a good offensive coordinator. He's going to be protected by the offensive line. And if you're Oregon State, you just have to be really excited because if he doesn't pan out, and I don't see a scenario really where he's going to flame out at Oregon State, I think he'll be pretty good there. You still have Gulbranson, who's still there. You know, I think he got thrown into the fire early. And if you've been a fan of a team where their true freshman gets thrown in, you're like, holy Moses, that guy's not ready. That's not what Gulbranson looked like. He looked like somebody that could be a good long-term prospect for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's really for Uiagalelei, like the fact that he's going to have a solid run game to work behind, you know, and he's going to get to work out of a lot of play action. I think he's going to be fine. Like, I mean, I think this will be an upgrade for Oregon State. And I don't say that as, like, I mean, Gulbranson, you know, could get there. There's flashes, you're right. But I do think it's going to be, you know, Uiagalelei is going to be probably, like, a bigger talent from day one.
Yeah.
You know, and they can continue to develop Gulbranson, you know, behind him. But it potentially opens things up for Oregon State because, look, I mean, they run the ball well enough that the quarterback really should be able to have a lot to work with, even without the world's best receivers. But now with him in the fold, I think what might be interesting is, like, is Oregon State potentially a more attractive landing spot for any transfer wide receivers still looking?
That would be awesome because I think they need a couple, and they have brought in some wide receivers with pedigree, right? The Florida State transfer, they brought some guys in from Nebraska a few years ago. It seems like every year they've been pulling them in, but not quite at the, like, they just haven't hit. And I don't know if it's because they haven't had the quarterback play. I mean, like, Nolan's first year during the COVID year, he looked awful. And to his credit, he got better, but he wasn't really the answer. He gets injured. And then kind of like we are where we are now. But yeah, that'd be really something to keep a look at because, you know, that transfer portal is still open. And as we've seen with Arizona losing their top, you know, wide receiver to their rival in their own division in USC, like, things can move pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you will sit there and say, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like, Oregon State doesn't have wide receivers. If they just get one good wide receiver, all of a sudden they're cooking. right? Like, I mean, really cooking on offense. And they, it's not that they're like a bad offense by any stretch.
Yeah, and they have a good defense now. Like, again,
that was 10 games this year, and they get a 4 or 5-star QB. They won 10 games, and the one thing that you would point out about them is that the biggest missing piece was a QB, right? I mean, like, yes, you would also like to have, like, but it almost feels like we are nitpicking what will be a good offense and an improved offense no matter what, right? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, it'd be awesome to say, like, how good do we need them to be, right? Like, they'll be a lot, like, this should be a really, really fun team this year.
Yeah, for the love of all that's good in the world, Oregon State, like, make Jonathan Smith the mayor, give him the biggest house in Corvallis, like, you know, right, make a, yeah. You know, name the steakhouse restaurant after him and give him all the naming rights. Like, just do whatever you can to keep him there, because it's awesome. By the way, for everybody that was listening and tearing their hair out, JT Daniels was the transfer I was thinking of that ended up going from West Virginia now to Rice. So I apologize for that. My brain, we're still catching up. We've taken a couple weeks off. And a lot of stuff has happened. A couple other transfers here, Rob, on the quarterback, and again, we'll talk about other positions later, but you know, yeah, Jack Plummer leave Cal to go to Louisville. Cal looks like it's still looking for a quarterback on that front. You know, the other, I wouldn't say big name, but another name that ended up happening was Drew Pine, the starting quarterback from Notre Dame, now transferred over to ASU, and you know, he's got Dillingham there. Like, what do you think about that pickup?
Yeah, I mean, like, Pine was not going to win the job at Notre Dame. I think, you know, like, for Arizona State, for where they currently sit, right, like, getting Pine is a good win. You know, like, he's they didn't really have any – I mean, they didn't really have anybody that you love at, you know, at QB. Yeah, and they didn't have anybody really in development either, right, like – coming into this season. So I'm fine with it. I like it. I think it works. It's not, he should be plenty serviceable. Dillingham's a good OC, you know, don't let Bo Baldwin fuck things up.
that is the worry, right? We talked about that a little bit in terms of what he brings, and I don't know. Like, you know, hopefully Dillingham is calling the plays, and he's just trying to revive Bo Baldwin's career to do an attaboy, which is not what I would do to start my head coaching career at 37 or whatever it is. But right. Here we are. And, you know, a couple other names in terms of the portal. Xavier Ward, the Washington State quarterback, ended up at Sam Houston State. Emory Jones has transferred to Cincinnati. Kai Milner, the 4-star quarterback from Cal, is gone. Although I'm curious if he jumps back in. And we'll talk about the offensive coordinator that Cal brought in, which we're actually kind of bullish on. You have Paul Tyson, you know, the great-great-grandson, twice removed, of Bear Bryant, who transferred to ASU. He's gone. He actually went over to Clemson, so we're transferring. Finn Collins, also gone from ASU.
Dabo played at Bama, so, like, I'm sure that's, like... Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, come on in. Like, we'll give you a scholarship. You'll never, like, run the scout team.
You know, we talked for 3 years about Jay Butterfield finally transferring. That happened, which is you know, we'll see where he ends up. And then Chance Nolan, who we just mentioned from Oregon State, bounced. Jordan McLeod at Arizona, where he had a cup of coffee there, one good game against UCLA. He's gone. And Brendan Lewis has also transferred. So most of those quarterbacks that I just named, most of them have not found landing spots. We'll keep a lookout for that. But, you know, overall, I think that the conference is still going to look really solid at the quarterback position. And I'm just praying that maybe the defense steps up on any team, Rob, that isn't Oregon State basically this year, because it's been a rough year, and there's going to be a lot of offense next year as far as I can see.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the problem for the Pac-12 right now, is that, you know, like, if you look top to bottom within the conference, you know, the conference has just become horrible, horrible at defense. And it's like, for these teams to improve, you know, like, for the most part, it's going to have to start with defense. I mean, like, right now, and this is after the semifinal games, but without the 4 games that came on Monday, you know, it's only Utah and Oregon State within the top 41. Or I mean, with the top 40 defenses in college football, the Pac-12 in beta rank, It's there's a lot of really, really bad defenses out there within the conference. Like Washington ended up improving a bit off of where they were. They've ended up finishing off at 54. But like some of it is like Washington also, you know, got a, I mean, some of these teams also managed to get fairly favorable bowl draws as far as like the offenses they were facing, right? Like Oregon got North Carolina after North Carolina's offensive coordinator went to Wisconsin. Washington gets Texas with Quinn Ewers, who is just bad. But yeah, I mean, like, if you look at, like, I mean, USC's at 82. I mean, there's, like, I mean, there are more, like, half the conference is below, it's 73 or below. And I mean, and those are all, like, we grade Power 5 on a 1 to 65 scale. Those are all horrible Power 5 defenses. I mean, and like, Arizona's at 114. Colorado is at 125. My God.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm just curious to see what ends up happening in terms of like the yards and stuff. So at this point, it is kind of a landing spot for quarterbacks. They're like, oh, I can make a name for myself in the Pac-12. That's great. You know, I will gladly do that. I guess we can move on from the transfers. Really, we covered, if you haven't listened in the past, we covered most of the coaching changes in the Pac-12. But the last time we recorded, Stanford hadn't brought in a head coach yet. So Troy Taylor, the former offensive coordinator at Utah and the Sacramento State coach, is now officially announced as the head coach for Stanford. I was more excited about him. This is like, you know, who knows? But I know Jason Garrett was thrown around, and I don't know. I listened to some NFL podcasts. It seemed like nobody thought he was a good coach. So it's nice that, like, I think Troy Taylor had a pretty interesting stint at Sacramento State. Rob, you've been following the lower divisions a little bit more, right?
So Sacramento State is sitting currently at number 8. I mean, there's still one more game to play between South Dakota State and North Dakota State. But Sacramento State finished at number 6 overall in Beta Rank, went pretty far in the FCS playoffs. Number 5 offense overall, number 19 defense. I mean, Troy Taylor, like, it did not work out for him at Utah, but he's certainly shown himself to be a pretty good head coach at the lower level. I mean, this is a good change for Stanford in my book. Like, I think Troy Taylor, he's not a really flashy name, but like, he certainly has the track record at the lower level. That doesn't always work out, but
well, and they need somebody to be able to handle a lot of the, I almost use the word crap, but it's not. I mean, like, right, Stanford's admissions and it's really hard to transfer to Stanford. They have really stringent, guidelines, and it's difficult. It's a tough place to, and it's an increasingly tough place to be able to recruit to. And now with NIL and the transfer portal and all that stuff, like, it's going to be an up, like, you know, and I think the cupboard was not as strong as it's been in the past. So we'll see what happens. So like, Rob, the one thing too, is that you're going to have Taylor calling plays. So I was like looking around, like, why haven't I seen a story about the offensive coordinator being hired? And basically it's going to be Troy Taylor. He's going to do play calling duties. And then he's let Tavita Pritchard stay on as the quarterback's coach. I don't know about that. I don't like they've been some. although I guess like Davis Mills and I guess Shaw's had some decent people under Pritchard. But Taylor's basically going to be calling the plays, and Pritchard's going to be doing the air stuff. And then I think they brought in a running backs, like, you know, a run design coordinator or something like that. But for the most part, right? I think, well, like, here's a question for you. I mean, Taylor got fired at Utah, like, after 1 year or 2 years. It was a really short stint. He was part of that, like, rotating, you know, the carousel of offensive coordinators that Utah fired before they found, their answer. What do you think about him calling plays?
I mean, one thing I think people should always do, this is like the Andy Ludwig and like Oregon fan phenomenon, right? Like, just because a guy didn't work out at your school, in particular, if it was like a short stint, doesn't necessarily negate, like, you know, some, you know, quality years elsewhere. So, like, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, like, I think it is a little cautionary that, like, Troy Taylor really didn't work out with Utah. And he's going to come in and he's going to need to establish and run, you know, like what is like a bit of a different offense that he ran at Sacramento State, like than what Stanford has really been running. Like Sacramento State is a more run heavy offense. They're number 7 in effective rush, number 25 in effective pass in the FCS. They're a pretty explosive offense overall. That's where they got most of their points. Number 5 in explosive drives. They're going to be switching up what they've been doing. They're going to have to reestablish the run game. His offensive line coach hire, and I feel like you can't really evaluate how that's going to work until you literally see it on the field, is going to be critical. They're going to have to be able to really, you know, run the football. I do have some concerns from time, I'm interested to see, like, I'm not convinced that every FCS run scheme translates. Like North Dakota State's my example, right? Like Kansas State opened up their offense a little bit and ran a little less North Dakota State stuff this year and were a much more effective offense than they have been in the past. It certainly hasn't translated at all under Craig Bohl at Wyoming. I think I would hesitate to say, like, just because like 1 year it didn't work at Utah that like we think this is not going to work. Like he's had a couple of really good years at the FCS level.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And it is Stanford, right? Like they have that uphill climb that they're going to have to do. The one thing that I'd also add to that though, is it sounds for like, you know, we have a couple friends that are pretty close into the Utah like program, or they're allowed on the field. They cover stuff at the Utah Man podcast. It sounded like Taylor was like kind of out early or mid season, like that departure was not a smooth one. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but you know, he's starting to put together his staff. The defensive coordinator is Bobby April, who is the linebackers coach for Wisconsin. And you know, he's kind of bounced around the NFL as a linebackers coach, but I mean, he's been a quality control coach, but doesn't look like he's been like a legit defensive coordinator before. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, and like we talk about, like mileage. Anytime you get a new play caller, someone that's never called plays before, mileage may vary, right? Like, you know, it can go a lot of different ways. He's got a good pedigree, but it's not as if they hired like Jim Leonard, right? It's not as if they hired, you know, the guy that was the play caller behind those Wisconsin defenses. Now he may have gotten. I'm not sure if Leonard kept play calling duties when he was the interim at Wisconsin, or if he handed them off. But like they fell off a bit this year defensively, so if they did hand it off to him, like that's a bit of a watch out. But you should at least bring, you know, like knowledge from a pretty well functioning offense or defense over the last couple seasons. And but it is a bit of a worry, I think, for Stanford, which really absolutely has to get the defense turned around.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a multi-year rebuild, and we'll see if he gets there, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of all that you can ask for, really. I mean, it's not like Colorado, right? Like, I mean, Colorado is I like that school. It's a beautiful school. But you know, you can come in there and just kind of bring in whoever you want. And that's what Deion Sanders did, right? He just brought in a lot of transfers. He's trying to bring as many people there as possible. Stanford, you got to recruit like high school kids and junior college kids. And that's how you build that program. And it's going to be different from the rest of the Pac-12. So I'm curious to see what happens there. The last big hire here, Rob, Jake Spavadal, the head coach at Texas State, and the former offensive coordinator of who has a pretty good standing, I guess, in the coaching world, was hired at Cal. Yeah. Like, I think you had mentioned that you like this one.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, Spadwell hasn't been like a full-time OC since his days at Texas A&M. But those are really like the last really good years they had. I mean, under Kevin Sumlin offensively at A&M. I mean, that feels like forever ago. But he's been at Texas State for a while. It hasn't really, I mean, it just did not work out for him as head coach. Texas State does not put a tremendous amount of resources into college football. And he really struggled as the head coach there. That said, like, I think, you know, I do think this is a pretty good hire. It has been a while since he like exclusively called plays as the OC, you know, had better talent than he had at Texas State. But I think versus what we've seen the past couple seasons, like this is like on the face of it, a much better hire. And at least somebody that, you know, in the past has been a pretty well regarded OC and has put up some good numbers as an OC, you know, at a high level.
Now he was listed as the OC at West Virginia in 2018. It's been about 4 years, but you know, West Virginia, Cal, A&M, I mean, he's at least been a OC for multiple years. And I hear you, like Texas State, if you talk to people that really follow college football, like Texas State is one of those programs that's like, we got a football program, where they're not really taking things as serious. Like North Texas, I think, is like legitimately trying to be
I forgot that he was. So yes, to your point, yes, West Virginia, and those were some of, as I recall. Let me pull that up. Because Holgerson was like up and down offensively at West Virginia.
There's that one bowl game against Utah where their quarterback was just so so bad. Like I watched 5 minutes of that game and I'm like, oh no.
Okay, yeah. So like his last year at West Virginia, they improved all the way up to number 12 overall in beta rank. They were like I said, that they were good under him at A&M. Let me pull up that. I'm pretty sure that 2016 Cal, I had forgotten that he had that. Because he was only Cal for a little bit. Yeah, they were 34. I mean, this should be an improvement, you know, I would expect over what they've been doing.
That's great, right? Like, because Musgrave, we both said, right? Like, because you don't know. Sometimes you do pull an NFL coach in and, like, it works. And what are you going to do? Like, or an NFL coordinator? Like, it's just, that's not our world. But college is just so much different from the NFL. And oftentimes when you try to pull in a coordinator from the NFL that, like, all they've done is do NFL, I find, at least in the recent memory, where it doesn't really work out, and that's why you don't see major coaches do that too often. I think sometimes, like even Alabama, right? Like Bill O'Brien was kind of a mess, but Sarkisian worked out. So, you know, I do think that there's some pros and cons to it. But when it's kind of like a offensive coordinator they haven't really heard of before from the NFL, just that Musgrave, we were pretty skeptical about it, and I think rightly so. But yeah, with this one, I think it's like more traditional. Like, it's not necessarily like a home run, but it's within the context of college football. You know, somebody that's just been in that pool.
All of a sudden, their defense is a problem, right? They were 55 defensively this season. And it wasn't just like, oh man, like Cal just doesn't have anybody that can play, you know, like can play two gap, and they're just getting blown up in the A and B gap. Like they are, like they were at 60 in effective rush, 56 in effective pass. So it's not a good defense. Like they've got like Cal. I mean, I like the Spadaball hire a lot. I think for where Cal has found themselves, because like it kind of feels like Wilcox has been like under the radar, going downhill a little bit. So this could potentially help right the ship a little.
Yeah, and we mock Cal sometimes because it just doesn't seem like they're committed to football. But Wilcox, I do think, was a decent hire there. He's had some good years, and this gives me hope, where it doesn't seem like he's just the Musgrave hire made it seem like he was mailed in it and he was just cashing paychecks. So this at least injects some energy into that offense. And yeah, like you mentioned on the defensive side, we'll see. But good for him. Anything else on the coaching side, or you know, any other transfer? We forgot to mention that. What is the guy? Colin Schley, the quarterback.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Kent State's got a good, like, he's pretty well regarded quarterback. Kent State's had a fun MAC offense. I think this could potentially be a really good get for UCLA to play sooner rather than later, as they sort of like maybe ease Dante Moore into it. And then Ben Arbuckle, who's the offensive coordinator at Western Kentucky, they had a phenomenal year offensively, is rumored to be the leader for the Washington State offensive coordinator opening.
Yeah, when their OC was rumored to be the head coaching, you know, what did he take Texas State? I think he might have taken.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, they.
Good luck. Now, I was excited. Like when I saw that news, I'm like, hooray! Like forced. You know, force creativity, you know, like you gotta go out and find somebody else. So I thought that actually it was a good thing that he left. You know, I've watched a couple Washington State games with our friend at our friend's house, and it's just the grumblings. The grumblings from the fan base. Like, I was glad that even Washington State fans were watching and going like, oh no, not another bubble screen, or like, oh no, not another tunnel screen. And that was basically the offense. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah. This would be good. I mean, like, it'll really tell us what Cam Ward is, right? Like if they get Arbuckle, because you know, if you watched in particular, I mean, they lit it up in their bowl game. They had it going.
Yeah, for real. Okay. All right. Let's get to the bowl games and let's do it right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's talk through some bowl games. Let's breeze. So there was a lot of them. There's a lot of them, Rob. And, you know, these games just are increasingly becoming exhibitions, and there are some things to take away. Let's start with the Rose Bowl, right? That was the most recent one. Penn State 35, Utah 21. I mean, this game, look, Penn State was in control of this game for the most part. I take that back. It was back and forth in the beginning, but then Penn State really started to pull away, and then Rising got hurt, and the game was basically over. And really the Penn State was able to step on the gas. They kind of got what they wanted through the air and then on the ground, right? Like Nick Singleton did really well. Sean Clifford was able to throw some touchdowns and stuff. But I think the big story here was like, you didn't have Clark Phillips. You know, Rising was out when the quarterback, who I think is the walk-on, came in. Like, we've seen him play before, and he was exceptionally bad in this game. I thought he actually played decent in a couple other games where he was thrown into the
fire. I mean, Rising was bad, though. I mean, like, let's not sugarcoat this. Like, Rising is an absolute warrior, and, like, he has been, I think, over, you know, the past two seasons, one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12. He had an absolute stinker of a game.
Yeah.
8 of 21. He had a bad pick. He had less than 5 yards per, you know, like, look, I mean, some of that is you're going up against a pretty good sec. I mean, Penn State also had their best corner out. He's probably a first round pick. You know, like, it's not as if Penn State has a good secondary and a good defense, and like, Utah hasn't faced one of those in a long time. their lack of weapons, I think, got exposed. Like, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily all on Rising. Like, I think they just lacked weapons to be able to compete with Penn State in this game. But yeah, your point too. I mean, like, Clifford, I mean, if he could, like, if Utah wasn't able to get to him on a blitz, and they were, for the most part, not able at all to put pressure on him without blitzing, he could scramble around and buy time, and eventually his guys got open. And they haven't been that great of an offense this season.
Yeah, I mean, good for them for making the Rose Bowl. I think most people didn't assume they were going to win the Pac-12 this year. Yeah. And it's a testament to Whittingham to, you know, continue to, even with not a, I think even Utah fans would say this team was good, not great. So for them to win the conference and make it to the Rose Bowl and be competitive in the first half, you know, like, that's a good season. We'll see what happens next year. You know, I'd like to see that recruiting tick up even a little bit more, but for the most part, Utah is what it is, but it does seem like that those lines need to be a little stronger in the coming years for them to really compete for the, to continue to compete for the Pac-12 championship. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the Cotton Bowl, LOL. Tulane 46, the Trojans 45. USC's winning this game by 16 with 4 minutes left and managed to lose. And that was funny to me. Tulane was look, the bookies know on some of these games. Tulane, the entire time, I think they opened as a 3-point dog. It ended up closing at 1.5. And they showed why. Like, USC gave up 45 points. Now, some of those, you know, granted, 7 of them were on like a fumbled punt catch on the 1 yard line. But still, Tulane was scoring enough in this game where they were at least making it quasi interesting. But that the fourth quarter, like, USC gave this game away. That's the end of it, really. Williams had a great game, like 5 touchdowns, either for like 5,000 yards, basically. But I don't know. Did you watch this game? It was pretty bonkers.
It was so dumb. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, USC's going to cover. Like, this is going to be good. And then they did not. Like, in the worst spot. I mean, the safety, the special teams screw up. And the defense was just god awful. I honestly say this, and like, I have been a Grinch defender for a couple seasons, like less so these past two. But I'm just surprised he hasn't been fired. Like, this defense is so bad.
And that's worrisome, because it is more difficult to build a defense, it seems, through the transfer portal.
Yeah.
But you know, it does help when you can legitimately go into your own division in your own conference and say, I would like this player, I would like this player, and I would like this player, which is basically what they did to Arizona and have been doing to other programs. So the talent, I mean, look, is Keon Barr's going to break open the world as a tackle at USC? No. But they are going to be able to put some interesting pieces together. But I'm kind of with you. I really loved what Grinch was able to do with those Washington State teams. Like, those defenses were awesome. But it's been a hot minute, like a hot 4 or 5 years since he's really been able to put something together. And I think, you know, I'm surprised Riley didn't pull the trigger already. He seems pretty cutthroat and seems to kind of want to really get a championship as soon as humanly possible. And I would be surprised if he doesn't do that next year. But yeah, I mean, like, do you think this defense gets that much better next year?
I mean, I think they have a shot to improve significantly, but like, they could still be a bad defense. Like, that's where they're sitting currently. I mean, that's the problem. If you're USC, you're sitting at 82 overall, and that's before I haven't had, like, the Tulane game is not even in there yet. So that's not going to improve. And then, I mean, they could jump up 40 spots and still be a worse than average Power 5 defense. Like, now that would be a significant improvement, but I'm with you. Like, I don't think you can build a defense through the transfer portal. I just don't think that is going to work. Like, I think you can maybe add a missing piece that you need, but I don't think you can go out and just like do a line change.
Well, good luck with that, USC. I mean, like, it was a fun game. Like, it's bowl season, right? Dumb stuff happens and it's interesting. And Tulane, clearly this was their Super Bowl. I would argue, like, you know, USC, did they really care about playing Tulane after missing the playoffs and losing to, you know, Utah and that kind of stuff? Like, probably not. But, you know, but they lost. And I'm just curious to see what they're able to do next year. I mean, they're going to be able to move the football, because holy Moses, Caleb Williams is awesome, and he continues to be awesome, and a privilege to watch play football in this conference. But the, you know, outside of that, like, you know, them and the wide receivers, and I think the offensive line was better than they've been in the past. You know, like, they still have a lot of work to do to be able to really legitimately compete for a national title. Anything else on the Cotton Bowl?
I mean, whoo, buddy. I mean, that one was just, I mean, like for USC, I think in particular, that was really embarrassing. I mean, and I say that as like, I mean, like UCLA went out, stunk it up to a Pitt team that wasn't very good, but like, whoo, buddy.
I was texting friends like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Like, yeah. It's kind of, you know, it's very USC to do what they did. But I do think that like this team is clearly headed in the right direction. The turnaround has been really solid. We'll keep an eye on that. You know, moving on, going backwards, going back in time here. Fresno State 29, Washington State 6. The Jake Haener experience comes to a screeching halt, you know, I would say he carved up the Washington State defense, but you know, about 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and boy howdy, like, I mean, we just talked about the offensive coordinator. Now, like, to be fair, the coordinator kind of left, I think, without talking to Cam Ward about like leaving, you know, and he brought Ward with him to Washington State. So I feel like Ward got done a little bit dirty on this one, and he showed it. 137 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. Like Washington State.
Fresno State does not have a great defense. They're 45 in beta rank, and you, like, Ward was freaking terrible. Yeah. In this game, I mean, any time in modern college football where you are averaging less than 5 yards per attempt, like, that's brutal.
He threw 32 times for 137 yards. Like, that is really
brutal.
And then Watson, right? Like, that, nothing on the ground. I don't know if Washington State wanted to be there, which is weird because they've had a decent season. And I think if you take a step back and look at the program, like, you get a better offensive coordinator. And I the one thing is they don't have a wide receiver that can separate. Like, all their wide receivers are just okay. And when you think about what Leach was able to do and just bring in wide receivers that might be 3 stars, but they had that something, and he just knew what that was. They clearly, I mean, that's been missing the last couple of years. We'll see what they're able to bring in. But I think Dickert's a good coach, and I think the defense is going to be solid. I am worried about the offense and the talent that they're able to bring in, because I don't know if they can coast on just average talent the way that Leach was able to do, just because of the scheme. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if they get in a good, like, Arbuckle or somebody like that, if they get in somebody really good, like, they'll be fine. But it's the same way that Leach was, right? Like, you have somebody that's a really good play caller, understands the area and system, and it works. Yeah. I'm just not – I don't know. I mean, like, they could use some better wide receivers for sure. They could use, like, some better talent. I don't disagree. Like, I think, like, their main problem was, like, I'm just not sure Eric Morris is any good at calling plays.
I think you're right. By the way, I'm just laughing because the next bowl is the Las Vegas Bowl, and I'm just looking at Florida's box score, and it's to die for. So they threw 13 for 22 for 180 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, and Florida rushed for a cumulative, what is that, 40 yards? Against Oregon State. Like, look, Florida did not want to be there, and there's some issues with that coaching staff, and clearly he had a bunch of opt outs and all that stuff. But oh my goodness, now they scored that field goal at the end of the game. They have this stupid streak that only Florida player, like, fans know about, where it's like, we have the most games consecutive that where we've scored points in a game. Like, oh, great. Like, congratulations. So that's why they kicked the field goal rather than going for the touchdown at the end of the game, because they want to keep that streak alive. It's like 180 games or something dumb. But at the end of the day, like, this game was so ridiculous. And congratulations to the Beavers, who showed up to a bowl game, cared, and won the game, like, handily. Like, this game was done. Like, done. And you could tell Florida really didn't care, and they were taking a free trip to Vegas, and who doesn't like that? But, you know, anything to say about it?
Like, Jack Miller played quarterback for Florida. I mean, like, he hasn't played much this season. Like, the amazing thing, I think, is, I mean, really, Oregon State was able to control the box. They were able to rely on what has really been a pretty good secondary all season to shut down Florida's passing game for the most part, and that allowed them to really control the line of scrimmage and be able to load up the box when they needed to. just amazing how bad Florida was in this game. I mean, in a lot of ways, you could think this is a really bad matchup for Florida. I mean, a team that in Billy Napier's first season didn't finish strong and didn't seem to be all that interested.
Yeah, 10 wins. They count. They count.
They do. I mean, Oregon State should do really good. I mean, this was a good win. Florida had a decent defense this season. Oregon State was able to go in and run the ball a bit. I mean, they benefited from having really good field position all game.
I realized that I went way back in time. I went from there. Yeah. So my apologies to the fans the listeners that are listening to the show. I went for it, just, my phone just totally screwed up. Let's go to Pitt UCLA. Late field goal here for Pitt to put him over the top. I had UCLA. I think I had him in an alt line. I thought they were going to crush Pitt. It was interesting because every one of Pitt's, first DTR played, and second, every one of Pitt's captains opted out of this game, and they still beat UCLA 37-35. I don't know what, whatever. It is what it is. It was kind of a bummer to see DTR go out. Not playing super well, because he has, to his credit, he's had a really good, he really turned his career around at UCLA. I know he's had friction with Chip Kelly, but three picks, and just the body language from him in this game was pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, Pitt's got a good, they were middle of the road Power Five team, number 34 overall in beta rank. The offense stunk, but UCLA's defense is worse. And then, the defense is, assisted 20 overall. That's pretty good. What doomed UCLA more than anything is the turnovers, right? I mean, they had five turnovers in this game, four picks, one lost fumble. I mean, you're just not going to win many games when you are -4 on turnovers.
Yeah, Bill McGovern's still the defensive coordinator. I mean, are we just going to go through the same song and dance that we, and I know he's been sick. I don't know, Chip Kelly doesn't tell anybody anything, but it seems like he had some health issues, so he wasn't at a lot of these games. But even when he was, this defense has been bad and it remains bad.
Yeah.
And it's the same, he basically picked the same guy with a false mustache, Jerry Azzanaro, he just shaved his beard, comes in and becomes the defensive coordinator. And I think the thing was weird was on Twitter, we follow a couple of the beat writers and they're we're looking at the stretches of the UCLA practice. That's the only thing we've been able to watch. I'm you're in a bowl game. Who cares? It reminds me of what Lane Kiffin was doing when he was struggling at USC. Nobody's allowed to see practice. We're going to deflate the footballs. We're going to change everybody's number. It's who just freaking hire good people, right, and win football games. Anyway. Frustrating.
Don't overthink it, Lane.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of that was a depressing one. I really thought UCLA was gonna take it to Pitt, and it was a missed opportunity. But again, exhibition bowl game, a lot of opt outs and stuff. But Washington beats Texas 27-20. 11 wins for Washington. What a turnaround. Michael Penix coming back. This game was stupid, right? I don't think Texas really cared. They scored 20 points on Washington's defense. That's inexcusable. You should almost fire Sarkisian just for that. It was really, really dumb. But this is a big win and a fun win for Washington.
I mean, Texas had a good defense all season. And they did manage to keep Washington more in check offensively than a lot of teams really have. Texas's offense has been really bad this season. They managed to be even worse. I mean, most of Texas's good games offensively were a lot earlier in the season. And it just kind of feels like they've been kind of poking along into the end here. Really struggling. And Ewers in particular was really bad down the stretch. I mean, if you look at from that, that Iowa State game, going forward, he didn't really have a good game all year, and he wasn't really good at this game. that said, if you're Washington, like, you'll take it to the bank. Like, you know, you showed up, you did what you needed to do against the Texas team that, like, seems to be struggling. Bijan Robinson, of course, had opted out. And that really hurt Texas's, you know, ability to run the football. If you're Washington, you're just hoping to be able to like, cause the offense should be really good again, you know, get anything, any kind of real improvement out of the defense, and you're potentially a top 10 team next season.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. But they got a lot of work to do on that defensive side, though. Okay. Last game, Oregon at UNC. Bo Nix, 2-minute drill. Let's go. Like, that was that. It was when he got in there, right? Because and Hiplane got needled me for this a little bit, and I think he was right to some extent, right? Because Bo Nix comes to Oregon, and we're like, oh no, like, big game Bo, right? He's gonna mess up and stuff. And he comes in, and like, they move the ball down the field. He gets, I don't, that touchdown was, ooh, was, I don't know if that ball was across that plane, but fewer points than anticipated in this game, right? I just assumed the final score is gonna be like 50-47 or something like that. But it still ended up being a good game. I think at the end, like, these were two teams that really did care about winning at the end, and that was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this game would have benefited from Kenny Dillingham and Phil Longo being there.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of points in this game, you were just like, I thought Drake May and Bo Nix were good. I was led to believe that they were good. Because both of these defenses, in particular North Carolina's defense, were horrible. And Oregon really should have been able to, like, the Oregon team we saw all season should have been able to pour it on this Tar Heel defense. So definitely some work to do for the Ducks, I think, you know, to get out of this funk. They got a new OC coming in. I like the OC hire. Like, I think they'll be fine. You know, like, for North Carolina, like, it'll be interesting to see who their OC is. But this game, I mean, I felt like this game was, like, really disappointing because, like, if you'd watched these teams all season, you'd be like, oh, man, this should be so much fun. Like, just an absolute shootout. And it was a bit of a snoozer, like, with neither offense playing particularly well.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think Bucky Irving had himself a game. Yeah, it was interesting. They had so many running backs this year, and it was like, you know, wasn't Bucky Irving like the 3-star West Virginia or Western Kentucky transfers? Anyway, like, it was interesting that he was the one that emerges. So he's fun to see who really breaks through when you bring in a bunch of talent and try to figure out, you know, on the field who the best player is. But he had himself a good game. He had that 66-yard run too, on top of everything. Yeah. It's also, I'm also curious to see, you know, who the defensive coordinator is for UNC next year. Like,
yeah,
holy Moses. Gene Chizik has not worked out there. But again, like, 10 win season for Oregon, first year for Dan Lanning, and they got a good recruiting class coming in. So I'm excited to see what they're able to put together. Nix coming back, I think, is really important. I'm curious to see if Ty Thompson transfers, because I don't know if he's good.
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, like, it's tough because it is tough to see somebody just, you know, like, thrown into the fire. But he's definitely somebody that if he entered the portal would get a lot of interest. So I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I'm interested to see if he transfers. Now, the fact that they did not land, that they got their quarterback flipped at the last minute by UCLA, maybe that Thompson sticks around, because after Nix, he may really get his shot.
I don't think he's good. Well, we'll see. I mean, like, every time he comes in, I'm like, up. I think if he was good, he would have gotten some playing time when you've had a couple bad quarterbacks there, or just quarterbacks that Oregon fans are like, I don't know if he's. We'll see. But, well, you know, we'll keep a lookout on Oregon. I think they're gonna compete for the conference again, and I'm excited to see what they're able to put together next year.